Get our Bibles out, open up to Leviticus chapter 11. Got a bit of reading here. The title of this talk is Food Laws. Leviticus chapter 11. Verse 1. Leviticus 11 and verse 1. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying unto them, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, These are the beasts which ye shall eat among all the beasts that are on the earth. Whatsoever parteth the hoof, and is cloven-footed, and cheweth the cud among the beasts, that shall ye eat. Nevertheless, these shall ye not eat of them that chew the cud, or of them that divide the hoof. As the camel, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof, he is unclean unto you. And the coney, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof, he is unclean unto you. And the hare, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof, he is unclean unto you. And the swine, though he divide the hoof, and be cloven-footed, yet he cheweth not the cud, he is unclean to you. Of their flesh shall ye not eat, and their carcass shall ye not touch. They are unclean to you. These shall ye eat of all that are in the waters, whatsoever hath fins and scales in the waters, in the seas, in the rivers, them shall ye eat. And all that have not fins and scales in the seas, in the rivers, of all that move in the waters, and of any living thing which is in the waters, they shall be an abomination unto you. They shall be even an abomination unto you. Ye shall not eat of their flesh, but ye shall have their carcasses in abomination. Whatsoever hath no fins nor scales in the waters shall be an abomination unto you. And these are they which ye shall have in abomination among the fowls. They shall not be eaten. They are an abomination. The eagle and the ossifrage and the osprey, the vulture, the kite after his kind, every raven after his kind, and the owl and the night hawk and the cuckoo, and the hawk after his kind, and the little owl, and the cormorant, and the great owl, and the swan, the pelican, and the gear eagle, and the stork, the heron after her kind, the lapwing, and the bat. All fowls that creep going upon all four shall be an abomination unto you. Yet these may ye eat of every flying, creeping thing that goeth upon all four, which have legs above their feet, to leap withal upon the earth. Even these of them ye may eat. The locust after his kind, the bald locust after his kind, and the beetle after his kind, and the grasshopper after his kind. But all other flying, creeping things which have 4 feet shall be an abomination unto you. And for these ye shall be unclean. Whosoever toucheth the carcass of them shall be unclean until the even. And whosoever beareth aught of the carcass of them shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the even. The carcasses of every beast which divideth the hoof and is not cloven-footed or cheweth the cud are unclean unto you. Every one that toucheth them shall be unclean. And whatsoever goeth upon his paws among all manner of beasts that go on all four, those are unclean unto you. Whoso toucheth their carcass shall be unclean until even. And he that beareth the carcass of them shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the even. They are unclean unto you. These also shall be unclean unto you among the creeping things that creep upon the earth, the weasel, mouse, tortoise after his kind, the ferret, chameleon, the lizard, snail, and mole. These are unclean to you among all that creep. Whosoever doth touch them, when they be dead, shall be unclean until the even. And upon whatsoever thing any of them, when they are dead, doth fall, it shall be unclean. Whether it be any vessel of wood or raiment, skin, sack, whatsoever vessel it be, wherein any work is done, it must be put into water, and it shall be unclean until the even. So it shall be cleansed. And every earthen vessel whereinto any of them falleth, whatsoever is in it, shall be unclean, and ye shall break it. Of all meat which may be eaten, that on which such water cometh shall be unclean, and all drink that may be drunk in every such vessel shall be unclean. And everything whereupon any part of their carcass falleth shall be unclean, whether it be oven or ranges for pots, they shall be broken down, for they are unclean and shall be unclean unto you. Nevertheless, a fountain or pit wherein there is plenty of water shall be clean, but that which toucheth their carcass shall be unclean. And if any part of their carcass fall upon any sowing seed which is to be sown, it shall be clean. But if any water be put upon the seed, and any part of their carcass fall thereon, it shall be unclean unto you. If any beast of which ye may eat die, he that toucheth the carcass thereof shall be unclean until even, and he that eateth of the carcass of it shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the even. He also that beareth the carcass of it shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the even. And every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth shall be an abomination, it shall not be eaten. Whatsoever goeth upon the belly, whatsoever goeth upon all four, or whatsoever hath more feet among all creeping things that creep upon the earth, them ye shall not eat, for they are an abomination. Ye shall not make yourselves abominable with any creeping thing that creepeth, neither shall ye make yourselves unclean with them, that ye should be defiled thereby. For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, make yourselves different to everyone else, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. This is the law of the beasts and the fowl and every living creature that moveth in the waters and of every creature that creepeth upon the earth, to make a difference between the unclean and the clean, and between the beast that may be eaten and the beast that may not be eaten. Very thorough and very precise. The Lord had precise instructions here of what his chosen people could eat and what they could not. And if they ate those things that they couldn't eat, they will be unclean. And that's a whole nother law of the being unclean and how it impacts their life, that they are unclean until the even, as you mostly read there. But also, God's chosen people, because of the way they look at unclean and clean beasts, makes them different to every other nation around. They stand out, and because of what they choose to eat and what they choose not to eat. And this here was so important. That chapter is repeated in Deuteronomy chapter 14. Let's go to chapter 17, Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 10. Another aspect. Leviticus 17 and verse 10. And whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood, and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, no soul of you shall eat blood, neither shall any stranger that sojourneth among you eat blood. And whatsoever man there be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, which hunteth and catcheth any beast or fowl that may be eaten, he shall even pour out the blood thereof and cover it with dust or the sand. For it is the life of all flesh. The blood of it is for the life thereof. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, you shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh, for the life of all flesh is the blood thereof. Whosoever eateth it shall be cut off. And when they mean cut off, they mean stoned, killed, cast away forever from the nation, from God's chosen people. And so they have the food laws, but then there's this other aspect, they're not to eat blood. And historically, that this also was a sign of how different Israel was to the nations around, that that they went to so much effort to wash the blood out of their food, because it's clearly written here and implemented by the Lord that they must not eat any blood. So these are very strong terms that we have here in the book of Leviticus, and like I said, repeated in Deuteronomy for the people of Israel, God's chosen people to follow. Now remember, the whole Bible is for us to read, for us to understand the will of God. Go to Matthew chapter 5, and we read on Sunday that the Old Testament, the Old Law, is a schoolmaster for things to come. So it's so important that that we read it and we understand it. It's God's word. It's God's laws, God's edicts, God's guidance, all these things. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Think not," this is Jesus saying, "that I am come to destroy the law," okay? Or the prophets, you know, all the things that the prophets said and the prophecies and so forth, are speaking on behalf of God, because that's what prophets do. "I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." And when you know of another scripture where the old law is a shadow of things to come. So it's a shadow, it's a two-dimensional object. And Jesus has come to fulfill it, that it now becomes a three-dimensional object. "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so," right, "and teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." So reading that, what Jesus himself is saying here, that the old law cannot be deleted or changed, says one jot or tittle in no wise shall pass from the law. It's God's word. It's set until it's all fulfilled. And Jesus came to fulfill. And there's a little hint in verse 20. It says, "Except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees." So the scribes and Pharisees, the scribes, they understood the old law, and they went through it with a fine-tooth comb, like Leviticus 11, a fine-tooth comb, and judge, okay, this fish, can I eat it? Is it a skin fish or a scale fish? And then, of course, from there, there's certain other judgments that flow from that. And the Pharisees, you know, the religious leaders, were putting into practice what was in the law, everything. But what he's saying is our righteousness needs to exceed that. Okay? We need to understand the point. We need to understand how the old law applies in our lives. How it's a shadow of things to come. How also Jesus fulfilled it. So there are very important concepts, and important concepts as well, like how precise they were and how careful the nation of Israel was with what they ate. So that concept applies to us as well, how careful we are with what we eat. Remember, that shadow of what you eat is a shadow of things to come with what we eat, and we eat according to what Jesus has fulfilled, and our righteousness therefore can exceed that of those that follow the shadow of things to come. Acts chapter 1. I've read this a few times, but I do love it. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. So it's the former treaties, in other words, writings in the past, now specifically referring to the Gospels, but it could also be the law, you know, the writings in the past. O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, you know, describing these things of what Jesus did. And then if you look at the law, you know, like in a type there, Jesus was that rock that followed the nation and so forth. And Jesus is the Word until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. So the key is the Holy Ghost. That was the change of how that shadow became a three-dimensional object, was the Holy Ghost. The old law was there, all the statutes and rules and things that the Lord put into place, very precise, were fulfilled through Jesus' sacrifice and then the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So the old law applies now in a spiritual sense. And what's good about the old law is we still carry this carnal body around. We read the law and stuff like that makes sense. Spiritual things, you know, as you keep growing in the things of the Lord, you get an idea more and more of spiritual things. But the purity of our spiritual vision is always impeded by this natural body that we carry around. So we've got the law to read. And then we can apply a spiritual interpretation or understanding of it over to chapter 10. Acts chapter 10 and verse 9. So this is New Testament time. Peter is full of the Holy Ghost, filled with the Holy Spirit. He speaks in tongues. He's had incredible revelation, been able to teach thousands of people and guide thousands of people in the new way. Acts 10 verse 9 says, "On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh into the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air." And in that verse, you can imagine there are all those animals that were listed in Leviticus 11, and many more. Insects and wild animals and domestic animals, birds, bats, all these things were in this sheet. "And there came a voice to him, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But Peter said, 'Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean.' And the voice spake unto him again the second time, 'What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common.' This was done thrice, and the vessel received up again into heaven." And this led into an amazing thing where the Gentiles first received the Holy Spirit. But the point here is in this new age, this new dispensation, where the law has been fulfilled, where people are filled with the Holy Ghost, what God has cleansed, that call not thou unclean. So there's a difference happening here. So how does it apply? Okay, Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 8. Hebrews 9 and verse 8. "The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and diverse washings." You know, we read that the blood need be washed, and carnal ordinances, you know, those ordinances we read in Leviticus 11 included, that imposed on them until the time of Reformation. "But Christ being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth and to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works? Okay, so here that those works and following those ordinances of the Old Testament are now called dead works to serve the living God. Okay, Jesus Christ came, sacrificed, took away the need for a tabernacle. That indeed it's now a tabernacle that is made without hands. It's our body filled with the Holy Spirit. This new dispensation where we stop following those dead works and those ordinances, but it's still God's word. Romans 8. Romans 8 and verse 3. Romans chapter 8. We'll start in verse 3. For what the law could not do, so it had a shortcoming in that it was weak through the flesh. The law relied heavily on the determination of the people to follow it, i.e., it was weak through the flesh. God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And that one verse, it's just phenomenal what that the implication of that. The righteousness of the law is fulfilled in us today, as we walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So, if we stop walking after the Spirit, and we go back and walk after the flesh, the law of our members, you know, and even try to follow the old laws, we're actually breaking the law. Because the law is fulfilled in us through the Spirit in this modern dispensation. Going back with all the food laws, the sacrifices, all that sort of stuff, because it relied on the strength of the flesh, but in the Spirit we rely on the strength of God, and so therefore we fulfill the law. It's a small verse, as so many verses in the Bible are, but the implications of it are incredible. If we want to be justified by the law, we have to walk after the Spirit, instead of following the things of the flesh and doing the things through the strength of our flesh in the old law. Verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. You're relying on your own strength when you're relying on your flesh, you're not relying on the Lord. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Okay, that's another short verse that means so much. But ye are not in the flesh, praise the Lord. We're not in the flesh, but we're in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. John chapter 6. Verse 53. Incredible chapter, John chapter 6. John chapter 6 and verse 53. Says here, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, he that eateth of this bread shall live forever. So here's a hint. You know, this bread that came down from heaven is Jesus Christ. So we have all the sustenance and the life that comes if we eat his flesh and eat his blood, drink his blood. Verse 63, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So spiritually speaking, we eat his flesh and we drink his blood. His flesh is the word, we devour the word. His blood is his life, the spirit. We continue to feast on the spirit, the manna from heaven, praying in the spirit, leading a spiritual life. They are spirit. Verse 66, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him, because it was hard to understand. God wants us to understand the food laws, how they apply spiritually, okay? Spiritually today. 1 John chapter 4, penultimate scripture. 1 John chapter 4. And here, in this one verse, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, describes how we have to be careful and very choosy about our spiritual food law, just like we read in Leviticus 11 and 17. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." Okay? We have available to us a whole plethora of spiritual food available. Some of it is pork, some of it is centipede, some of it is catfish, others sheep, cattle, you know, some's clean and unclean. So we have to have the same clarity of direction as the Lord gave Israel in Leviticus, to choose the right food, to only eat the clean spiritual food. Try the spirits, whether they are of God or not. If they are of God, it's clean. If it's not of God, it's unclean. And it's so important. And otherwise, we become unclean. And the Lord wants us to be clean spiritually. So keep devouring the things of the Spirit. And then, you know, I think I've made it clear. We just make sure we eat clean food, not unclean food. Food that's good for you, not junk food that's going to make you sick. There is spiritual tucker out there, and we are disciplined in what spiritual tucker we eat. Finish up 1 Corinthians chapter 10. So the harshness that was described in Leviticus when people disobeyed the food laws, the consequences of disobeying the food laws to the nation of Israel are to apply today. We experience the consequences spiritually now when we disobey the food laws, the spiritual food laws. Finish up 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 23. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. So there's this other aspect. So based on what we've read and the experience of Peter, all things are open. We can consume these things. It's no problem with it. But there's this aspect that all things are lawful for us, but not all things are expedient. And that's why we have the guidelines in the Revival Fellowship. The things that are not expedient includes drinking alcohol, smoking, taking drugs, all those things, because we know the consequences of them are not good for our relationship in the Lord. So spiritually speaking, we keep devouring the clean spiritual things. Naturally speaking, all food is open for us. But then there's this other aspect that, hey, look, you know, some things just aren't expedient. Even natural things, foods and so forth, can affect our spiritual walk and our relationship with the Lord. Okay, thank you.